and I want to take it up from there. This morning, if you want to title what I'm talking about, you can call it Make Mention. Make Mention. Make Mention. In Hebrews 13, from verse 5 to 6, Hebrews 13, from verse 5 to 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 is, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I want you to say the latter part boldly, and let me see what your bold looks like. From the place that says, the Lord. Let's do it now. One, two, go.
The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear.
Is that bold? Okay, now let's do bold. One more time.
The Lord is my helper, and I can unto me.
The Lord is my helper. Make mention. We are more than conquerors, you know, from Romans 8 that we were in last week, through him that loved us. But you see, our conqueror status is a legal status. And if you know anything about legal system, it can be legal, but it may not be experiential. There are many legal things that are not experiential. There are many legal things that are not vital. It is possible for something to be legal and that thing is not vital. Do you understand? That means that it is available by the law. But sometimes because of ignorance one way or the other, or because of some nefarious activities, you will find out that though it is legal, there needs to be an enforcement. And so God has different enforcement systems. And one of the enforcement systems of your more than conqueror status is what Hebrews chapter 13 is saying. Hebrews 13 is saying, you should let your conversation not be without covetousness. You should not be under pressure. You should not be an anxious person. You should not let what God is doing for other people put you under pressure. You should not let what has happened to somebody around you make you to now think, where is God? Many times when people ask where is God, one of the major, maybe high up there reason is comparison. Comparison. And most times, many people will be fine if not for another person. Most times, many people will be okay if not for the other person. So there is a comparison that puts pressure on people. And God in that scripture is saying that you don't have any reason to fear. You don't have any reason to compare. You know why? Because God says, I won't leave you. That means that if you see something happening to the other person and you think God did it, God didn't leave you to go and do it for them so that you are not at a disadvantage. Because the way some people look at it is as if it's a quota system. The portion will finish. You know, it is a finite thinking. It is a mind of a man that thinks like that. In the mind, in God's economy, there is no it has finished. There is no it is not enough. In God's economy, it's like the supply can be equal and greater to the demand. In God's economy, I can provide even if it was not there before. In God's economy, we can create from something, we can create from nothing. In God's economy, we don't come late. In God's economy, we don't have a disadvantage. In God's economy, all things work together for good. Can I tell somebody this morning? It is working together for good. The delay is working for your good. The setback is working for your good. Let your conversation be without covetousness. For he has said, I will not leave you. One of the consciousness you need to walk with into September is the consciousness of, I am not alone. God is with me. If many people understood what it means that God is with them, if you go with the consciousness, because you see, the reality in this kingdom where legal begins to become experiential and becomes vital and becomes something you experience, one big part of it is your consciousness. Is the consciousness you have. The reason why sometimes it feels like God is absent is just consciousness. If you can convince yourself and convince yourself beyond what you see, what you touch, God is with me. I'm not alone. When Joseph was in the prison, God was with him. When he was in the pit, God was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house, God was with him. So the presence of God does not necessarily mean absence of trouble. It just means that that trouble will not have the last say. Hear me, child of God. What has happened will not have the last say. Jesus has the final say over your life in the name of Jesus. So, that scripture now says, when you have the consciousness that God is with you, that you have Emmanuel. You know, when the Bible says his name shall be called Emmanuel, it's not just a name. It's an experience that you have to have every now and then. God became man so that God can be with us. And that's why when Jesus was living in John chapter 14, he says, I'm going to send you another comforter. I have come as a comforter, but I'm going to not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter that will be with you and be in you. So in the days of Jesus, the comforter was just even with them. But in your day, in my day, the comforter is with us and in us. So when I come into the office, the comforter is already there. When I come into a bad situation, I have brought the answer into that situation. The problem came too late because I came with the solution before the problem came. Can somebody say amen to that? So have the consciousness that God is with me. When I go into September, God is with me. When I go into that office, God is with me. When I go into that troubled water, God is with me. I'm not alone. I'm surrounded. I'm surrounded. You remember that song? It says, it may look like you are surrounded, but you are surrounded by God. I'm surrounded. Scripture says we have a great cloud of witnesses. I'm not alone. I'm surrounded. I have company. If you are a Mount Zionite, if you are a Zionite, you show up at Mount Zion, like Hebrews 12 was talking about. You are somebody with company. You are not a loner. You have company. So every time you show up, I have company. I have come to this company, but I have company. I have an entourage. They came before I came, and they are here with me. He that is with me is strong, is a mighty, terrible warrior. Is for me and is with me. So you have that consciousness as you move along life. And one of the things that that consciousness will now start to do to you is that it says you will boldly say, or in another word, you will make mention. The reason why the presence and the presence of God does not become manifest presence of God is that people don't make mention. The God that is with you sometimes may be quiet until you make mention. The God that is in you sometimes can be quiet. I don't know if you have seen things. You have been into a situation where there is something that you can do that can save the situation, and it's not far from you, and you may still suffer the problem going on there. For example, you may be in front of your car, or you are in front of your house, and you are looking for your key very frantically, and somehow you had this sling bag, and you just for some reason did not remember that you even carried the sling bag, and then your key is inside. Do you know that you might still be denied entry into that place? Not because you don't have the key, but for some reason, you have not been able to operate the technology of knowing exactly where the key is, and in this case, make mention. And so you are denied entrance. I'm saying to you today that the fact that God is with you, one of the things he should make you to begin to do, because you are already a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror, what he should now make you do is to make mention. Make mention. Make mention. Boldly say. Boldly say, there are some things I want you, or some tools that you can use to boldly say. There are some tools that I want you to use in September to boldly mention, to boldly say, so that your more than conqueror status will find more and more expression in the name of Jesus. What can you make mention of? The first thing and massively major thing. Make mention of the name. Make mention of the name of Jesus. Make mention of the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that the mentioning is beyond words. You know, you can make mention and you may not use words. We saw it in the story of Anna. Anna was making mention, but the Bible said there were no voice. In fact, scripture in Romans chapter 8, it says there is groaning which cannot be uttered. That means there are mentionings that we don't even see. There are mentioning that is almost like a sounds. There are mentionings like that. Okay, so the first mention is the name of Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10, Proverbs 18 10, the Bible says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run. The righteous run." In the days that Proverbs 8:10 was written, the name had not been given as one name. The name had not been given as one name. There was no one catch-all name. In the days of Proverbs 18:10, you probably will be thinking, oh, should I say Nisi? Should I say Shama? Should I say Rafa? And all of those names have their place. But in your day and my day, there is a catch-all name. There is a name that we can now mention that can do Nisi for us if we need Nisi. That can do Rafa for us if we need Rafa. That can become Sikenu if we need Sikenu. That can become Shama if we need Shama. There is a name. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. If you start reading from verse 5, the Bible says, "Didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself of every reputation." And then in verse 9, the Bible says, "God has highly exalted him and given him a name." And given him a name that is higher than every other name. Do you understand? The reason God gave us this name is that there will be other names that will show up. There will. It's as if God did for us what he did for Moses. When he told Moses, when Moses said, "Who will I say sent me?" He said, "Tell them, I am that I am sent you." God is kind of saying, I want to give you a name so that when another name shows up, you can mention this name over that name. If they bring a name to you, you can put this name over that name, and this name will always bring every other name down. If it has a name, it can come under this name. And you see, in the days of Moses, when they were using the name of God, it was pretty much on the earth realm, because Jesus had not died. So, but by the time Jesus died, this name has authority in all the realms. Look at it. He said that at the name, if you can get to the name, just like the name of the Lord is a strong tower, if you can get to the name, not just using it in your word, but at the name. I'm curious, why didn't he say just mention the name here? It is like the mentioning has to add to something. He says at the name of Jesus. How do I get to the name of Jesus so that when I mention it, it will work? Have you met many people? They will shout, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." And it looks like the name is not powerful. They will be like the sons of Sceva. And they will say, "In the name of Jesus that pastor talked about today." And somehow it won't work. And you'll be wondering, does this name discriminate? I thought the word of God says there is no respecter of persons with God. How do I get to the name? Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. Make mention and make mention of the name. But you see, to make mention of that name, you need to get to the name. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And in his name, through faith in his name." And in his name, through faith in his name. So when the Bible is saying in Philippians 2, 9 to 10, that at the name of Jesus, to get to that name, to get to the address of the name, it's not only speaking, it's not just mentioning. Your mention has to be colored and has to be mixed with faith. He said, Acts chapter 3 verse 16, Acts 3, 16. He said, faith in the name is what is making this man whole. So this man is whole because of faith in his name. So when it comes to getting to the name, It is faith in the name. It is not just mentioning the name. You have to have faith in the name. You have to have faith in the name. It says, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man whole. It is faith in the name. It is faith in the name. And let me say, there are several things, because of time, I may not be able to unpack that one. But there are several things that are consideration of what builds faith in the name. One of it is you don't use the name in vain. You know, when God says, thou shalt not mention the name of the Lord in vain. Most times, some people just think God is, he just likes these do's and don'ts. No. You see, there is a reverence that you will give to the name of God. There is a reverence that you will give to God that will make him deliver for you the day you need it. If you commonize God in your mouth, if you commonize his name in your mouth, the day you need the name to be potent, we won't know you are serious. There are so many of us, we will add G's. G's. And in your mind, it's Jesus, but just because you are church person, you don't want to say Jesus. So Jesus is an exclamation. Jesus is a shock statement. So when you need Jesus to walk, it feels like it's not working. So faith in the name comes by honor of the name. Honor of the name. I reverence the name. I don't use the name anyhow. I call the name with reverence. I call the name with reverence. Honor of the name. How do I build faith in the name? I honor the name. I honor the name. And that honor will show up in the way I use the name. That honor will show up in the worship in the name. Worship of the name. I worship God. I celebrate God in my own private time, so that the day that I need to use the name, it will work for me. Most times, in schools, in children's schools, some of us that have children in schools, they will send you these notes. And some places in corporate America, physical workplace, they do what they call fire drills. You're right? Because they are prepping so that the day they will need that thing, it will work for them. So they make sure they do things so that apparatus is ready for use. I'm saying this morning, your fire drill for the name of Jesus, one of major part of it is honor. When you begin to honor the name in your heart, honor the name with your disposition, with your words, honor the name with your action, what you begin to do is that you are doing a fire drill so that the day you need the name, it will work. So that the day you mention the name, it will not just be empty talk. You know that sometimes the same words you say, another person will say it and they will have different response. Why? It is the value. It is the person that brought that name to Jesus. You can boldly say, you can boldly mention, you can boldly arrive at the name. When it comes to victory, when it comes to your more than conqueror status, if you understand that God is with you, if you understand that Emmanuel is just not the name of Jesus, but is an experience that you carry every now and then, the Bible says you will boldly say, you boldly mention, you boldly arrive at the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. John chapter 14 and verse 13. The Bible says, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything in my name, I will do it. The reason why it seems it has not been working is because your fire drill is out of place. And I've given you one thing this morning that you can run with. It's faith in his name, but how does that faith practically show up that you are having faith in his name? By the time you start to honor that name, honor the name in your heart, honor the way in your disposition, that way you will be able to make that name work. Because let me tell you the truth, there is no name like the name of Jesus. It's a very potent name. I've said it here many times. the name of Jesus is a full sentence. It's a full sentence. It's not just like every other name. If you mention your name, it's just an identifier. In English parlance, that's the subject. But in spiritual parlance, if you mention Jesus, his subject, his verb, his object, is everything, every part of speech that you need in your sentence. It's probably even a paragraph sometimes. Because sometimes you need more than a sentence. Sometimes you need more than a paragraph. It's almost like a book, but you don't have time. Do you know that sometimes there is no time to begin to say, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know, when we talk about prayer, we talk about, you know, the protocols of prayer. Enter his gate with thanksgiving. Come into his presence with praise. The password is praise and all of that kind of thing. That's a nice to have. But how many people have been in a place that you can't follow that protocol? You cannot follow the rule. This day, the problem cannot wait for me to follow the rule. I cannot say, "Our Father, I just want to say thank you." Before you finish saying that one, something will take you out. But thanks be to God, there is enough time. It's just a breath away. There is enough time to shout the name of Jesus. And if you have faith in that name, every knee shall bow. I'm going to give you 3 seconds to begin to prepare yourself. And you are going to rise to your feet. The way you are shouting this particular name of Jesus is so that every knee that needs to bow before you enter September, they will bow. Every knee that must not cross over with you into September, that they will bow. Because this particular mentioning of the name of Jesus is not just what a pastor is telling you. You are mentioning the name that is greater than every other name. If you are ready, you should be on your feet. We are going to shout, and we are going to shout it boldly. And I know that in your body something will check out. I know in your house that which was not of God is going to pack out. I know because of this shout of the name, somebody is going to read an email in September and it will say, "Congratulations." Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. May please be seated. He is with us so that we can make mention. And one of the things we make mention is the name. Build faith in the name. Build faith in the name. In fact, when sometimes your children are going out, put the name on them. Put the name. You can put the name of Jesus on people. You don't necessarily have to touch them all. There are many of you, I put the name of Jesus on you, and I don't have to see you physically, but I can picture you, and by faith, put the name. That's the beauty of the faith life. We can do things beyond the physical. We can, by faith, apply the name. The Bible speaking in Numbers chapter 6, if you start reading from verse 22, when God was telling Aaron through Moses how to bless the people of Israel, he said, "When you have said all these things, that way you put my name on them. You put my name on them. You put my name on them." So your children are going to school. Put the name of Jesus on them. And no devil will be able to stop them. In the name of Jesus. Make mention because he's with you. What do you make mention? You make mention using the blood. You make mention using the blood. And like I said, the mentioning is beyond the verbal mention. It's just a posture. You know, yes, the mouth will be engaged in speaking sometime, but there is a consciousness. There is an alignment with the name. And now I'm adding to it an alignment with the blood. An alignment with the blood. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." The life of the flesh is in the blood. And everyone that became flesh, their life is in the blood. Why is it that Jesus had to shed the blood? It was life for life. It was life. He wanted to give life. He wanted to give life. The Bible is speaking in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, "The thief came not but to steal, but to kill and to destroy. I have come to give you life and life until it overflows." How did he give this life? By the blood. So his life is in his blood. I need you to understand that the blood of Jesus is not just one spooky something. No, it's an eternal substance, an eternal reality. Blood speaks. Medical science is catching up with that. Sometimes medical science will be doing like they are just catching up. That's why now blood work. You first do blood work. I was presently surprised when I think it was our last child, that they said through the blood we can know sex. Ah, I thought it was scan alone. Why? Blood speaks. It speaks medically. How much more spiritually? The life of the flesh is in the blood. So understand that if the life of the flesh is in the blood, the life of God, the life of Jesus is in the blood of Jesus. And that's why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame. Their more than conqueror status was established. He says, by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they overcame by the blood. What does that mean? First of all, they engaged the blood. They appropriated the blood. They make sure that the blood was speaking more than their mistake. If they make a mistake, they will use the blood. They will come under the blood by using the blood to cleanse. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we lie to ourselves. It says, but if we confess our sin and forsake them, it says, his blood is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does that mean? That means that if I make a mistake, I put it under the blood. I don't allow the accuser of the brethren to begin to noise it in my head. I didn't do something I should have done. I put it under the blood. So that is why one of the things you should do is that, before you even get to church, before you get to the place of prayer, in the place of error, that is the place you should apply the blood. You apply the blood immediately and say, Father, by your blood, I cleanse myself of this sin. I cleanse myself of this unrighteousness. And immediately you do that, you come under the consciousness of cleansing. Because sometimes people will use the blood like this, but they will not switch into the consciousness that the blood has worked. They feel like the thing the devil is still telling them is real. No. The blood is efficacious. The blood is powerful. The blood washes white. He said, if your sin be as scarlet, he said, it can be white as wool. Yeah, I was reading a book recent this week, and he was saying, it's amazing that the first miracle Jesus did was turn water into wine. It's almost as if Jesus was trying to show that what I have come to do is to turn things around. So if it is dirty, I can turn it to clean. If it is ugly, I can turn it to beautiful. If it is sinful, I can turn it to righteousness. So the first job of the blood is for it to cleanse you and use it. As a child of God, use it again and again. That's why we have the blood. We use it again and again. When you use it and you cleanse yourself like that, what you have now done is that you have engaged the blood to speak for you. You have engaged the blood to speak for you. I need you to understand that there are things that are speaking every day. And one of those things speaking is the blood. Let's look at this scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. If you start reading from verse 24... The Bible says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, and to the blood of sprinkling. He didn't just say it's the blood, he said the blood of sprinkling. Why did he have to use the blood of sprinkling? It wanted to take the readers back to the first time this blood was used in this way. It was used as a protection. You remember when the angel of destruction was supposed to pass through the land of Egypt and there was going to be an exemption on Goshen? The Bible said, God told them, put the blood on your lintel, sprinkle the blood, apply the blood, engage the blood on your lintel, so that when the angel of destruction comes, the blood will speak and say, no, this one, no, no, no. And let me tell you the truth, even till today, the blood still speaks when you apply it. So you don't only apply it, you don't only use it for a sin, you also use it for other things. You apply it on your house, you apply it on your job. So how do you do that? You have the consciousness that when I mention the blood of Jesus, whether I use the word I plead the blood of Jesus or I say something like by the blood of Jesus, it doesn't matter the way I coin it, because sometimes some people say, no, you have to say I plead the blood of Jesus. If you don't say I plead the blood of Jesus, it does not work like that. Who told you that? You don't have to use the word I plead. You can say by the blood of Jesus, I anoint this house. By the blood of Jesus, I anoint this job. By the blood of Jesus, this marriage is a no-go area. And you see, you remember that we are making our redemption status, our more than conqueror status, happen by making mention. We make mention of the name. Now we are making mention of the blood. The consciousness and the audacity that comes into us when we use the blood, apply the blood, deploy the blood, let the blood do some of the speaking. There are too many of us, we do all of the speaking, and the blood can speak. Look at this scripture. That scripture says in that Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh. The blood speak. Sometimes there are other things that are speaking. Your document, there is a lot of errors that are speaking there. And some of you are so concerned about your own error, you don't know that there is something that can speak for you. You know, sometimes the way some people think about systems like the United States is that you think that, there's a small mentality in many people that look, there are no corrections by God necessarily. No, it can't work like that. Don't be too spooky. Don't be too, no, are you kidding me? Even this system is not perfect. I was reading somebody's application with the USCIS and they judged them based on another person's application. I'm telling you, they say we are going to deny you because you apply for, let me just use a random something, you apply to be a teacher, and the person said I applied to be a doctor, and they were judging teacher on doctor. So if they can make errors and they are running away with their error, who told you that your error somehow God can't help you with it? Am I saying you should make errors? I'm just telling you that a system that some people look as very perfect makes errors. So you who are not so perfect, you can make some errors. And there is a correction that is possible. The blood is able to correct. The blood is able to correct. This morning, I believe a correction will happen to somebody in the name of Jesus. I may not be able to get to the last point I wanted to say, but let's just stand up. Let's stand up. In that Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible said they do the blood to overcome and the word of their testimony. I was going to get to the place of the word of God where you find relevant word. Relevant word. I'm always intrigued about the story of David, that David took stones. David took stones and not arrows. He took stones. And then I remember that the stone the builders rejected became the corner. I believe that David was projecting to the day of Jesus. Remember that Jesus is the son of David. And so when David was taking stone, David was taking word. It was the word that became flesh that David was taking. If you can find stones, sir, I don't know what is standing before you. If you can find the word of God, place it into your mouth. If he says, I am healed, and then I am healed. You had that sister. What did she take with her? It was stones. And she resigned. There was no result in the physical, but she took stones. She resigned, went home, worshiped for 45 minutes. Somebody says that's coincidence. Who told you that? She took something with her and they overcame. Their more than conqueror status was established by the blood and by the word of their testimony. But the word of their testimony in that place is the word of God. They are taking the word of God literally and applying it to situation. This this morning with your voice, take the word, take the blood, apply it on you, apply it on your family, apply it on your business, apply it on September 2025. Go ahead, apply the blood. Don't be quiet this morning.